Hey, chiropractors, welcome to Modern Chiropractic Mastery with your host, Dr. Kevin Christie, where we discuss the latest in marketing, business, and professional growth with some of the leading experts in the industry. Hey, docs, welcome to another episode of Modern Chiropractic Mastery. This is your host, Dr. Kevin Christie, and today I am interviewing Dr. Clay Sankey, who is one of our coaching clients, and we're going to dive into the capacity and ceiling of complexity topic. And he shares his story of going from himself in a front desk in a nice practice to now having a team, and how he did that by kind of changing a couple things as far as the time he spent with patient, hiring a CA, and some of the things and thoughts that we work through to really break through that ceiling of complexity that he had and was busy, but definitely needed more profit margin, but also wanted to maintain a very high level of patient-centered care that he has in his practice, he had before and he has now. And you'll hear his story of how he was able to do that by just tweaking a few things and looking at it through a different lens. And it's really been a remarkable couple years that he's had in practice, and it's been excited to be a part of that journey. Before we dive into that, I just got back from Parker Vegas 2024. What a great event. It truly was, and it's not hyperbole. I'm not someone that kind of rah-rah and gets all overly excited about things, but it just was a really good event all the way from the people there, the speakers, the exhibitors, the dinners we had, the conversations, the type of guests that were there. It just was amazing. We had a really good time. We had a fun, Jay Greenson and I had a salon dinner on Friday night, which was essentially, you can kind of look that up, but historically people would have these dinners at their houses in their, you know, in a salon type of atmosphere, not hair salon, but it's conversation. We kind of we picked about eight of us, Jay and I, and then he had three guests and I had three guests, and we set a topic around really finding the congruency between associate and practice owner. How do we get the practice owner to thrive more, to be able to hire more associates, to be able to pay certain levels? There's a disconnect happening there for sure. And what are some of the ideas and trends and thoughts around that? Really enjoyed the conversation. We didn't solve the world's problem, but I definitely left that conversation with a lot of ideas and things that I think we can do to bridge that gap between practice owner and associate and making it better, especially in the evidence-based world. And it was really enjoyable. But I just highly, highly recommend you attending Parker Vegas next year. It's going to be February 20th through 22nd in 2025. I just put it on your calendar now. It's just well worth it. It's definitely, there's a return on the investment of getting out there. And so make that happen. All right, without further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Clay Sankey. All right, welcome to the show, Clay. I'm really excited to have you on. I've gotten to know you over the last few years or so, but before we dive into today's topic, tell our audience a little bit about yourself personally and professionally, and then we'll dive into it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Kevin. This is great to be on the other side of things. Like I've told you, I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, so this is great to share some insight. Hopefully people can gain something from what I have to say. So my background from an athletic standpoint is in running, and it was my first running injury that brought me to a chiropractor for the first time. Freshman in high school, was sent to a chiropractor, and it's funny, I remember that first visit. I was laying on the treatment table and he had his anatomy poster on the wall with everything labeled. And I remember looking at it and saying, did you have to memorize all of that? And he said, yeah. And there's way more than that. And I told him point blank, I said, well, I'm never going to do that. So I think I sealed my fate there and then. But, throughout high school, I had gone to chiropractors for, you know, issues with, you know, running related injuries and some general maintenance stuff. So it was that exposure to the field, plus just a natural interest in health and human performance, that led me into wanting to become a chiropractor. So went on to run in college, and then after college went to Logan University for chiropractic school.
The Harvard of chiropractic schools.
That's what they say. Yep. Yep. Exactly. And so went to Logan and spent a, you know, had a great education there, really, really enjoyed my time there, but did a ton of hours of extracurricular work as well in the movement related realm, dry needling, soft tissue work, stuff like that. 2016, graduated chiropractic school, moved back to my hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina, where I now have three kids, practice, opened up my practice in 2016 as well. So three kids, practice, a dog, and very little spare time.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in the thick of it for sure. So obviously Charlotte's probably changed now compared to when you grew up there.
It has. It's a really growing city. It's a great city to be in, very young population, very, very active population as well, which benefits practice like mine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so let's dive into that. Give us a little bit of a, you know, 30,000 foot overview of your practice and some of the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah, so we're a very movement-based chiropractic practice. We have two providers, a CA and a front desk, three treatment rooms and a gym in the back. So we're very, you know, adjustment heavy, MPI style, soft tissue work. We do dry needling, laser therapy, different modalities. And then we put a heavy emphasis on movement as well. And I have a niche with runners, but also a big passion on working with TMJ issues, pregnancy, postpartum, and then your general neck, back pain, and sports injuries.
Yeah, and you got a nice little practice going there. You also got the treadmill. What's the name of the treadmill again? I'm blanking.
Yeah, we have an Alter-G anti-gravity treadmill, which is a pretty cool thing to have, especially when you work with a lot of runners. And there's really only a couple others in the whole city of Charlotte. So nice little perk.
It is. It is. It's definitely got a little bit of a wow factor to it, which is pretty cool. Let's take a break from today's episode and announce our first sponsor. This is going to be Propel Marketing and Design. I've known Darcy Sullivan for years. We've worked hand in hand on my websites. I don't trust anybody else to do this search engine optimization. She does a great job. There's so much to it. A lot of the lingo and the words are beyond my comprehension, but it's just amazing work that she does. And if you're really going to get results with Google, you have to make sure your website is SEO optimized. And I really don't want you doing it yourself as a chiropractor. So you just have to have this type of stuff done. And if you're looking to get more organic online traffic that pulls in new patients, Propel Marketing and Design is currently offering chiropractors who listen to this podcast a free SEO website review. The free review will help you uncover methods that will improve your website and boost your search engine visibility. Head over to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor and schedule your free SEO website review. You won't regret it. She gets great results. Your website needs this. Your search results need this. Head on over there to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor to get your free SEO website review. So what's your future vision of your ideal practice?
Yeah, so I don't know if I've ever been one that dreams of having multiple locations, but I do want to expand within one building and start to bring, we just brought on an associate chiropractor, but I would like to have some other services within the clinic as well. We used to have massage therapy. I want to bring that back. That's a really great benefit to us as chiropractors and to our patients as well. When you have a good symbiotic relationship with a massage therapist, physical therapy can be billed a little differently, and there's some benefits to having a physical therapist in the office as well. So I would ideally like a good physical therapist in the office, and really just expand our community reach as well. So be more involved with a lot of the running groups in the city, a lot of the other fitness groups. And, you know, ultimately our goal is to help people move better and feel better. So if we can do that and continue to expand here, then it's a win-win.
That's cool. Yeah. And it's been fascinating to see you grow. I think we've been working together for a little over 2 years or so now. And if I'm not wrong, I think it was just you in the front desk at the time, and you might have had some preceptors here and there. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Are you still taking on preceptors? I think you've had one recently.
We are. Yeah. So it's in the past, North Carolina has been in an observation only state for preceptors, which is a little limiting, unfortunately, for the preceptor and for the practice. But just this past fall, they made a hard switch and said, nope, preceptors can do everything. So we had a preceptor that fell under that new guideline, and it really worked out well. He was a stud, helped the practice quite a bit, and was a nice transition into then bringing on an associate because it helped with the flow of the office and everything like that. So yeah, always love having preceptors come in. We like that kind of opportunity to teach and kind of give something back to the profession as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, part of why I wanted to bring you on, because, you know, you've gone from a team of just you and front desk to now you've got four and then plus preceptor. So you're building a team. You're going to, you know, bring on massage at some point again. And it's been good to see that. And one of the things that we kind of had to work through was essentially a ceiling of complexity. You know, your treatment hours were essentially being booked. But there wasn't enough meat on the bone necessarily to grow. And I think a lot of people run into that, you know, and it's that hourly capacity issue that we talk about. It's basically how many patients can be seen in an hour? What's your office visit average? What does that add up to? And, you know, it's gotta be a healthy number so that you can build a team. And so take us back a little bit to that. How much time were you having to spend with a patient? How many were you able to see in an hour when you kind of were at that ceiling of complexity?
So yeah, I'll take it back even maybe just a little bit further. So yeah, I think when we come out of school, especially as movement-based physicians or, you know, this evidence-based crowd, we have this idea that we want to do something different. We want to separate ourselves from that traditional chiropractic model. We want to spend time with the patients. We want to do the extensive rehab, the good adjustment, the good soft tissue work. And that's super admirable. But spending a lot of time doing that rehab, oftentimes does not work under the insurance model. It can work under certain cash models possibly. But so starting off, you know, I was spending a good amount of time with patients. It was, you know, 30 minutes on returning visit appointments, if not a little bit longer, because I had the time, but got to a certain point where, like, man, you know, the schedule is kind of filling up, but, you know, I need to start bringing in some more revenue in order to expand and keep the practice afloat. And I had to have a conversation with myself. Look, I have to either see more people, which means, you know, less time with each individual person, or I need to charge more. And there's not a lot of wiggle room within the insurance model to charge more. You can add more onto your self-pay services or whatever, but will that move the needle? I'm not sure. So I didn't want to sacrifice the good product that we had, where we were, you know, spending good time with the patients. So I had conversations with some other friends and colleagues who employed really good athletic trainers, really good personal trainers as a CA to do their rehab. So it was just before I started working with you, and kind of one of the reasons why I started working with you was, look, I want to hire this good CA to start doing some of the rehab. I know you talk about our unique ability as chiropractors, and for us within our team, our unique ability, the only thing that is unique to us is we can diagnose and we can adjust. And in North Carolina, we can needle. So those other things we can outsource if we're spending a lot of time doing it. So that's what we did. We hired a good CA, and I was able to shorten the amount of time that I spent with patients, and still see a good amount of patients per week.
Yeah. And it wasn't like you went from 30 minutes to 5 minutes with patients. You know, you went down, you're able to see, you know, three in an hour instead of two. And and ultimately bring in the same revenue, be able to hire that person paid for themselves, essentially. And a couple of things I do want to mention, you know, you're in North Carolina, which insurance actually reimburses fairly well compared to other states, and it still can be hard to spend 30 to 60 minutes with a patient under good insurance model. And so a lot of people are in states where the insurance is really bad and it makes it even harder. The second thing I want to just, it's a little bit of a soapbox that I'm going to hop on for a second, then I'll hop back off of it and we'll get on it. You know, I've been running some polls in different Facebook groups, trying to get a beat on the profession as far as young docs coming out and looking for good associateship positions that pay fair. And I know there's a lot of associates that are frustrated with the job market out there and what they can get compensated from a good evidence-based sports chiropractic practice. You know, they get all these great certifications and trainings out of school. And as they get more specialized, which is great, they find that there's actually less and less jobs that are able to bring on their skill set. And then I kind of asked a question, a poll about, did you, when you were first looking for a job, just a general question poll that I had, were you looking for, you know, you picked the city or the specific region and then you tried finding a job because you wanted to go back home or a spouse or whatever, or did you just look for a great job and you're willing to move to different areas of the country for that great job? And, you know, it's a little bit more people look for, they pick the city first. And so then you're really kind of pigeonholed in that regard. And so the concern I have is that if not enough good evidence-based or sports chiros, however you want to label us, build good practices, like we're talking about how yours is being built, then it's going to feed this cycle of not enough good paying associate jobs for these specialized chiropractors, because too many of the chiropractors that aren't figuring this out are not able to even pay themselves well enough, let alone bring on another doctor. And so that's why this is important, not only for the doctor listening for their own practice, it's really important for our side of the profession. And we've got an exciting time. So there's a lot of cool things happening. We just, you know, found out that University of Pittsburgh is going to get a chiropractic school. So that's exciting. Like, there's a lot of positives, but we have to get this figured out. And that's kind of that hourly capacity that's really getting good results and not kind of dying on the vine in doing so. So that's my soapbox. That's why I kind of wanted to have you on, because you're a prime example of someone that's frankly relatively new to the profession, right? 2016 wasn't that long ago. You went through the pandemic in an early practice, which was probably not fun, and you came out on the other side of it. So kudos to that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely big picture, you know, and it's good to look at it that way, because we often, worry about focusing too much on that hourly capacity, because maybe, you know, a lot of us might not have gotten into this for the money. We got into it to want to help people. But if you don't have that revenue coming in and you're not smart about the amount that you can make per hour or that hourly capacity, then you're not going to be able to help the people that you want to help. You're not going to be able to grow and expand and provide good associate positions for those people coming out of school. So it's a really important discussion to have.
It is. And it's also just for, you know, like, I believe that a provider that's doing well doesn't, you know, we're not talking about driving Lamborghinis. We're like, you know, you feel good. You have some cash confidence. You're able to, you know, buy a house. You're able to do those things. Put you in a better mindset to be even better as a leader in your practice for your patients, go into that treatment room with a little more peace of mind and a little more clarity on things. And you're not stressed out financially, which can eat away at your effectiveness as a doctor. So, I just wanted to touch on some of those ramifications as we go forward. So let's dive back in. When you made this change and you personally spend a little less time, now the patient is obviously getting the same time in the office, they're getting the same services rendered, it's just being team, it's a team now. Right now, at this point, you're at a, you know, going back a couple years when you made this change, or a year and a half ago, it was a team of two. Now you're a team of three. But Did the quality of care or the patient outcomes go down at all when you made that change?
No, I mean, I would almost argue that it's gone up because they can, I'm 100% focused on the patient in the room, and I'm not too worried about the clock because I know that they're going to go to my CA, who's very capable at taking them through their rehab. And the CA then has time to take them through that rehab, progress if necessary, regress if necessary, make lateral moves if we need to. And it's not just me, worried that I'm late for the next person and, oh, we'll just get to it next time. So, and, there was that thought early on that, oh, man, it's not me doing the rehab. Will patients feel like it's a cheaper product because of that? I'd actually argue the opposite, that it has this air of professionalism that, okay, they're seeing me, the doctor, then they're going on to this really qualified and confident CA that can then take them through the rehab. So they're moving through this really great team, and they've now developed a good relationship with someone else in the practice. And they're, if she's not here, they're kind of bummed that, she's not here. And, they've got their own banter going back and forth. So it's been a really good setup. I don't think it's kind of taken away from the quality whatsoever.
Yeah, going back a little bit as far as, they're not going to see me the whole time. It definitely a little bit of an ego thing for us chiropractors sometimes, right? It's like
Yeah, we
for
can have a
sure.
problem with that.
Yeah, and and not to devalue the importance of rehab, but if you can really focus on the treatment side of things and feel good about that, that's going to improve outcomes as well. And then, obviously you got to train the CA well and have audits on how they're doing with queuing and rehab. That's great. Let's take a short break from our episode and let me tell you about this awesome company I personally use in my clinic, and that is ChiroUp. ChiroUp isn't your average online platform. It's the brainchild of chiropractors Drs. Tim Bertelsmann and Brandon Steele, and it has grown to a community over 3,000 of the best chiropractors in the world. I've actually worked with these guys before, and let me tell you, they're the real deal. ChiroUp is a goldmine of protocols from over 120 conditions we deal with every day, all neatly packed into one online hub. Why does this matter? Because not only are you able to diagnose smarter and faster, but you can also get this information into the hands of your patients in just four clicks. And they're 100% backed by evidence. How cool is that? But here's what really got me hooked. ChiroUp is all about stepping up the game in chiropractic care. I'm all for that, and I know you are too, because you're listening to this podcast. Seriously, if you haven't checked them out yet, drop everything and head to chiroup.com/Christy. That's chiroup/christie.com. You'll be able to set up a free 14-day account with no payment information needed. Once you see what's in there and fall in love with it, use the code CHRISTY15 to save some cash. Start now and you'll thank me later. Trust me on this one. This code is valid for new subscribers only. But you also mentioned something I want to touch on, which was worried about being behind a little bit. There was an interesting question or something posted in FTCA about what do you do if your patient's, 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late. And there was a lot of people on there, like they literally have no wiggle room. And so it becomes a capacity issue there where if a patient's 8 minutes late, they reschedule them or like, it's, and that you probably have a capacity issue there if you can't handle patients being a little bit late. Now, if they're 20 minutes late, that's a different animal potentially. But when you are a lone wolf, it's going to be a lot harder for sure. But when you have a team and you have a rehab CA, it's like it happens in our practice a fair amount where someone's late, but sometimes I'm late too. But like we'll just start them with exercise if they fell behind, right? We can kind of work the schedule a little bit because I have someone that can do rehab with them or can at least start to hit the subjective note with them while I get to them. Or, maybe I that patient that's 5 minutes late, I get to them real quick with treatment. And then that next patient, I look like, okay, they need rehab. Let's get them. They're on time. Let's get them rehab then in the treatment room. So it gives you a little bit more flexibility. And then from there, you can increase your capacities in that regard. And that can help out your practice as well.
Yeah, it's been a huge, that's taken a huge burden of stress off of our backs, having that ability to make those little changes. And you're exactly right. We can, if they're running behind, I can still get an adjustment in. I can still get a little bit of soft tissue work in. That does not take that much time. We may need to be a little quick on our conversations, but then they can spend a little bit more time on the rehab side, a little bit more with the modalities. And, you know, patients come in and they're late. They're usually like flustered, typically. And if they see that now you're cool, calm, collected, you're not worried too much that they're late, it really puts them at ease. And it's been really nice for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, love it. Now, did you have any patients complain at all when you made this change?
No. No, we haven't had anything. Occasionally we'll have, you know, maybe the rehab exercise didn't go the right way, but that's happened with me in charge of things too. So
For sure.
it's going to happen. I think it's just how you respond to things not going well is more important than how it was
Yeah.
that it happened in the first place.
A lot of chiropractors don't make changes in whether it's this type of change or others because they're worried about what the patient's going to say. And it's amazing what you can do within reason as far as changes and them not complain, right? I mean, I did the unthinkable, and I stopped treating patients for a year, and it was fine. And so
Yeah. Even
you
when we
can.
went, sorry, even when we went from a 30-minute visit to a 20-minute visit, and we start to make those visits a little bit more short and effective. People where they're used to being scheduled on the half hour, now they're scheduled on like the 10 minutes. They may say we may say, oh, your next appointment's at 9:10. They may say, oh, that's weird. And that's it. There's nothing more. But we have the CA, so they're still spending the same amount of time in the office, maybe even longer, because of it. So yeah, there's been no pushback.
Yeah, and like you said, they're getting the same results. And that's the thing that I think a lot of chiropractors fail to realize is that, we're not in a time economy, we're in a results economy. And if someone can get the same results in quicker time, it's they like that. And I think that's the other thing some people forget about as well. Let's take a short break for one of our great sponsors, TrackStat. It is a new type of software plugin for your EHR that combines patient communication, marketing, automation, and statistics with patient and employee tracking. Built by chiropractors for chiropractors, it shows your team what to focus on each day. See patient visit habits, missing information, unpaid bills, insurance collection visit average, and more. Great visibility of data so you can focus on filling your office with your best patients. When you can see what your staff and patients are doing or not doing and take action accordingly, your profits naturally grow. Take TrackStat for a test drive in your office with our free trial. Not a techie, no problem, we can help. To get started on your free trial, visit trackstat.org and watch the demo. That is trackstat.org. But give me a little bit of a overall update of where you're at now. Like, what has this done for your practice? From that point, you did that change, you hired the CA. Give us where you're at now.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that it's done is it's allowed us to bring in some more revenue to then hire an associate, which was really my ultimate goal. So I can not only have that, partnership of another provider being in the office, but then be able to take some of the burden off my schedule, be able to take a little bit of, quote, paid time off, which is not the reason why you should hire an associate, but it is a benefit. So yeah, it allowed us to see more people, still provide the same high quality level of care, and then bring more revenue into the practice.
Yeah, and that's big, right? And I think that's, when you have a team, it's awesome. And patients like to see a team. And not to say, like I for a few years I was a lone wolf early on when I opened my own practice. I was for maybe a year. I was in a partnership before that. And so things were fine, but when you start getting when people walk in, there's a good energy, there's three or four patients in there, you got some team members, it really adds to the patient experience. And they're like, okay, this, I'm gonna, a growing practice that is thriving. People like it's just like the same thing with a restaurant. If you go to that restaurant and there's no one in there and it's kind of whatever. You're kind of like, it's Friday night at 7 o'clock. Why is this place slow? It's the same kind of feel. If you go to a chiropractic practice, you want a little bit of energy there. And again, not that a solo doc can't have that, but having a team around you is going to improve a lot of things, I believe.
Yeah, yep, 100%.
And what are you excited about for the rest of the year? This is February of 2024. What are you excited for coming up this year?
I'm really excited to just get my associate's schedule starting to book up, get him rolling, and then with him here, start to free up some time to be more involved within the community. So that allows me to be get out more. He can get out more. He has more of a specialty in CrossFit, and that's a niche that we haven't quite tapped into. So I've got the runner side of things, the CrossFit side of things, and then just constantly work on educating the team as well. So RCA had a training process, but it continues to this day. We're always working on different exercises, progressions, regressions. We're hosting a seminar here in May, so excited to bring the team to that. Just continue to expand our knowledge and always trying to make this a better product when people come through our door.
It's cool to see that you're starting to turn your place into a destination, which I like. There's someone not too far from you, Michael Nelson in South Carolina, who we've worked with for some years now, and he's done the same thing. It's been cool to see some of the parallels there of, hosting seminars and doing all that. It's really cool. Have you noticed any difference as far as having to provide a different level of leadership in the practice now that you have people, you're building a team? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, managing people is definitely a different beast. Before when it was just myself, it was pretty straightforward. Then you add a front desk, and then you are used to things going a certain way, and you try not to micromanage. Then you add someone else, and same thing, and then you're adding another provider. So yeah, it takes a little bit to learn the ins and outs of that. Your group has helped tremendously. The book Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink, I constantly go back to that just because that's been really helpful in that management standpoint. But as the team grows, those little meetings, those scheduled meetings become more and more important, where you could kind of maybe slough them off or just do little one-offs when it's just two of you. But when it's more people, those meetings are real important. And I'm good friends with Keith Yoho, who you just had on the podcast, and hearing that episode on the importance of the meetings and the extent at which they take their meetings is really eye-opening. We don't quite have a team like that, but it's still motivation to make sure we've got everything in check and are following up on every little loose end.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And leadership's always interesting, and it's a consistent improvement that you have to make over time. I heard a and it's important, obviously, we know that. I heard a interesting kind of synopsis of it. It was actually Bill Ackman on the Lex Fridman podcast, but he talked about you need an A plus leader to be able to have A team members underneath. If you have a B leader, it's going to be really hard to have A team members. And so a lot of times you look at a practice and you look at the leader, say the chiropractic owner, and if they're a BC on leadership, it's going to be really hard for them to have team players that are A's. Like, that usually doesn't make sense, right? It just doesn't happen that way. Not that everybody has to be an A plus leader naturally, but you can definitely become a really good leader and get into that A category of leadership. So that way you have A team members and you have good culture and you have good patient experience and you have good clinical outcomes. It's important to continue to develop as a leader. So those of you that are kind of hitting that ceiling of complexity now, hopefully you got a lot out of this that, yeah, you can break through that. You might need some strategy and ideas around that, but you can. And then things might change a little bit for you. Like, you're gonna have to start also working on your leadership and what your leadership style is, and keep on improving on that so that the team is cohesive and that you don't have cultural problems within the practice.
And I've seen that myself where you just have sometimes you have weeks that you're just off. And if I carry that into the practice with me, I can see how like my team performs. It's like, something's off. And I think it's starting from the top. And then, when I get myself into gear and make the correct changes that I need to, then I see the performance come up with the team and just the overall morale and the mood. So I mean, you're not going to be perfect all the time, but as long as you're trying, you're working on good communication skills and everything like that, it comes together.
I think that's important, the communication. You got to talk to them too. It's like I recently had a pretty extreme case of it a couple of months ago. One of my best friends had passed away, and I found out that morning prior to coming to the office. And so I was obviously not in a good place. So I sat down and had a kind of impromptu meeting with them. It's like, look, I'm going to push through today, and we're not going to cancel patients. I'm going to put on a good face when I get in the treatment rooms, but just know I'm, dealing with some stuff, because I didn't want them, because in the past, I kind of would just, maybe as a guy, I just kind of deal with things and not talk about it. But I would have just not talked about it. And then they were like, oh, they would have thought something was wrong or something like that. So if there's any, obviously that's an extreme example, but if there's anything that's just eating at you that needs to be discussed, discuss it, communicate about it, get on the same page. Like, I'm having a bad day, my kid's sick or something, right? Like, I didn't get any sleep last night, because I know Clay, you got a newborn in the house. You didn't get any sleep. And so just let them know. I was like, yeah, it was a pretty rough night last night. So not in a bad mood. I just didn't get any sleep. So over communicate sometimes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So cool. Is there anything I didn't ask you today?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, this has been, the past couple of years that we've been working through this process and continue to work on it. And yeah, again, you and your group have been extremely helpful and real happy with where we're at and where we're going.
Cool. It's been a pleasure, and looking forward to keep on working with you.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And if you want to make the shift from busy, broke, and broken to time free and cash confident, or you just want to continue with the exponential growth, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com. Look at the MCM Mastery tab, watch the short video on there, and check out what we are doing now for evidence-informed chiropractors. We are equal parts coaching and marketing done for you. Yes, you shoot some videos, we help you with campaign strategies and ideas and really become a thought leader in your community. You shoot those videos, you send them to us, we produce, edit, and brand them to you. Then we distribute them through all of your channels. We also take them and we turn it into one good blog per month. And every other month, we have Darcy Sullivan producing a robust blog with a topic that you pick from her database to help with your SEO. So we essentially become your content marketing agency to make sure your practice is always having ethical, elegant content marketing to help grow your practice. On the coaching side, we also help you with everything from marketing ideas to business, communications, finances, anything practice growth, and really try to help prevent you from being stuck on that island. And we hold you accountable. We have a great group of doctors that are just doing amazing things. And we look forward to help you out to take that next step in your practice. So again, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com and learn more.